In a few minutes, your emails on basic training, summer reading, and smoking in the movies, but right now, the art of the commencement address. It's possible that you don't remember who spoke or what they said at your college graduation. After all, between joy, anxiety, and family, the day can be a blur for a lot of grads. But faculty members are commencement connoisseurs. Jay Perini teaches English at Middlebury College, where Bill Clinton spoke this past Sunday. Last week, in an article appearing in the Chronicle of Higher Education, he reflected on what makes a great commencement speaker. So, what do you think? What do you want in a commencement speaker? Do you remember who delivered yours? Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Jay Perini is a novelist, poet, and professor of English at Middlebury College, and he joins us from the campus studios at Middlebury in Vermont. Nice to have you on the program today.
That's good to be here, Neil.
And in anticipation of Bill Clinton's speech, you wrote that you could predict everything down to the lip bite, but you thought he'd be pretty good. So how'd he do?
Well, actually, I was kind of wondering what it would be like. I saw him about 10 years ago give a graduation speech in Oxford when I was a visiting professor over there, and he was actually quite terrible. He did a kind of a policy wonk speech, and I fell asleep more or less during the speech. And I was kind of afraid. Here's a guy who, early in his career, was famous for giving boring speeches. And I've assumed he got better as he's gone along. He's probably given thousands of speeches. And I was actually extremely pleasantly surprised by how good he was. He was amazing, frankly.
Amazing?
Amazing. He was amazing. Everybody, of course, loves to see a president, an ex-president. And he came out, everybody was looking for a glimpse of the famous face, and certainly there he appeared without a mortarboard, that great shock of white hair.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him coming out of the administration building, and I was kind of thrilled, and I watched him proceed up to the stage. I was sitting fairly close, and everybody was sitting anxiously waiting for him. It was a great burst of rain just before he spoke, and then the skies cleared as if, God was about to speak and descend on the people. And he raised his hand sort of and, acknowledged the standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously loves adulation. His personality is geared for that sort of thing. And he had no notes from what I could tell. And he spoke offhandedly for 20 minutes, reflecting on how awful the world is and what can we do to change the world. And he said, basically, we've got to have a sense of community. And he spoke really movingly about this, talking about some of the world's problems, and then really giving a charge to these students, saying, look, you're privileged. You're sitting here at Middlebury College, an elite college. You know, you've all this money's been spent to put you forward in the world, and you should go out there and really see the people around you. He referred to his friend Nelson Mandela. He said he went every year for Mandela's birthday party in South Africa. And he recalled that in Mandela's native language, when you see somebody on the street and you say, hey, how are you? The common response is, I see you.
Hmm.
And it was very moving. He said, think about this now. Don't just go off and be a privileged rich kid living in the upper echelons with blinders on. Go out there and look around you and see the people in the world. He was quite remarkable. He talked about the Human Genome Project. He said,
Interesting that you say, as a rule, politicians make terrible speakers.
Well, I mean, in fact, the worst speech I ever heard, I've been in this teaching for well over 30 years, I hate to admit, and I've been to probably 50 graduations of one kind or another in my life so far, and I've heard some really bad ones, and the worst are usually the politicians. By far the worst was Bill Bradley, whom I loved as a Knicks basketball player. I'm a basketball fan. I love Bill Bradley. I worshipped him. I couldn't wait to hear him. And, in fact, I agree with most of his politics. But he had on these – he put up these sort of strange semi-invisible prompters, which I never saw any graduation speaker use before. And he pretended he wasn't reading it, but he read it as though he were reading, spelling it out phonetically in some strange foreign language. And it was like the slow drip of sodium pentothal into our veins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two or three sentences into the speech, everybody was snoring. And even Bradley seemed to sleep through his own speech. That was really awful.
Mm.
Similarly, Bill Richardson came. Is it Bill Richardson? Yeah.
Governor of New Mexico.
Running for president.
Yeah.
He gave a speech a few years ago, and he was equally dull. Probably politicians still in the game should be prohibited from ever speaking at graduations because they just use these speeches as ways of promoting their political careers. Probably the fact that Bill Clinton is a has-been, so to speak, at least as a politician, was great for him. I've come to think that you're always better off in graduation speeches getting somebody who's finished with their career and so can step back a little bit and think about what it meant, and they're not trying to promote themselves.
Let's get some callers in on this conversation. 800-989-8255. We're talking with Jay Perini about who makes a good commencement speaker. Mike. Mike is with us from Chico, California. What do you think?
Well, I can tell you what doesn't make a good commencement speaker. At my graduation this May, we had someone quote Oprah not once but twice.
Ooh.
And I just thought it was a shame of all the great philosophers that we were supposed to learn about in college that we get a couple of cliches.
Did you think that was somebody trying to reach the students by talking about Oprah?
I don't really know. I think it was more like this is true wisdom rather than trying to reach the students. And it was just really disappointing. There were actually two different speakers that quoted her that day.
So, Mike, this will not go down in the golden day for speeches, at least in your memory.
No, but I got a diploma, so it wasn't all bad.
So there you go. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Here's an email we got from Alice in Roseburg, Oregon. What does make a great commencement address? Brevity and brilliance, she said. And the perfect example, Ted Geisel's, Dr. Seuss, of course, 75-second address at Dartmouth, which ends with, "And as you partake of the world's bill of fare, that's darn good advice to follow. Do a lot of spitting out of the hot air and be careful what you swallow."
Well, I'll tell you, the speech I remember most, in fact, in my 30-some years of graduations was Mr. Rogers. Fred Rogers came to Middlebury, and he stood up before the microphone and he said, "Why don't we all sing the Good Neighbor song?" And the whole class stood up, and practically the entire thousands of the audience stood up, and everybody sang that terrible song, and it was so moving. It's the one time I've ever been in tears while at a graduation like that.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, indeed.
It was so wonderful, and he had that creaky voice. He was a marvelous man. He didn't have to say anything after that, just singing that song that we'd all sung with our kids watching TV in the morning. It was so great.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk with Steve. Steve's with us from Rochester, Minnesota.
Hi. I went to college in Missouri. I graduated in 1980, and I cannot remember who was the speaker, but the thing that I remember what he said was that you should go through life as a thunderstorm and don't let your education impair you.
That's very good.
That's not too bad. That's words no. You could live with.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Anyway, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Bye.
There is a deal that goes with giving the commencement address. Usually, speakers like Bill Clinton, who gets tens of thousands of dollars, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars to give a speech, he gets an honorary degree, and that's about it.
That's the great perk. I think at Middlebury, all he got was an honorary degree. And he gave 6 graduation speeches this year, so he's racked up 6 more degrees. He can do like Robert Frost, who got something like 400 honorary degrees in his lifetime. And toward the end of his life, he asked a good friend to knit them into a quilt. So he had a whole quilt of the honorary degree hoods, which he used to cover himself, snuggle into, so he could snuggle into all that honor.
Hmm. Let's talk with Derek. Derek's with us from Ashland, Oregon.
Hey, thanks. It's been over 10 years now since I graduated from the University of Montana, and I think I can top the politician bringing boredom to the scene. Former Senator Conrad Burns spoke at my commencement. He had the great honor of being the least educated senator for a number of years, and he spoke about letting technology take us into the future and drilling in ANWR, or the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and other environmental, what some of us would consider atrocities. So I sat there outraged, and my greatest regret to this day is not standing up in silent protest, turning my back, or doing something, maybe the thunderstorm style that the previous caller mentioned. And I just thought you might find that interesting.
Yeah, you wrote in your piece, Jay Perini, that maybe when you're giving out those honorary degrees, you should be really careful about who gets them.
Well, I know I've sat on a lot of these honorary degree committees, and I think that an honorary degree should carry with it some honor. And an awful lot of the politicians, for example, many of those in office today, don't really represent the values of the academic community, as certainly as many faculty members would regard them as values. And so I think it's important that the people standing up on that stage are representative people, that they somehow represent the values of an educated community, you know, values of community, And not just values of, you know, not just who, how much money you're going to make in your life, or, you know, how are we going to extend American power abroad ad infinitum. You know, these, it's about really challenging the group in front of you to think about what are the true values of your life, spiritual values, community values, and how are you in your life going to live up to these values?
Derek, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Now let's see if we get one last caller in. This is Ryan. Ryan's with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I was a member of the class of 1997 at MIT, and we had Kofi Annan give our speech. And then about a month later, there was this internet rumor going around saying that Kurt Vonnegut had given us a speech. And it was this sunscreen speech. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
His advice was to wear sunscreen, I think.
Yes. And then somebody then turned that that speech into a song, and it was on the radio. And I just heard it about a week ago for the first time in a long time. And I got to say, I don't remember a single thing Kofi Annan said, but I sure remember the sunscreen speech, and it still moved me just, you know, after 10 years after graduating.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes when there are two speakers at my son's graduation a couple of years ago. There was Dennis Leary and some other guy who was very distinguished, and everybody remembers what Dennis Leary had to say, and I don't think anybody's going to remember what the other guy had to say.
Well, as it turned out, Kurt Vonnegut wasn't there, and Kurt Vonnegut didn't write the speech. It was just an internet rumor.
Ah!
And I think it was actually written by a columnist out of Chicago, but somehow... Kurt Vonnegut's name and MIT's name got tagged onto this, and it was completely fictional that it was a speech given. It was a column just written for a paper. But I thought it was much more memorable and much more touching than whatever the speech was that I actually heard at my graduation.
All right, Ryan. Thanks very much. Appreciate that.
Okay.
And Jay Perini, you can look forward again next year. Who would you like? You've already used up Bill Clinton.
Well, who could one get? We had Bill Moyers once, and he was remarkable. I don't know. It's Bill Cosby, somebody I don't want to get. I've heard him talk, and I think he gives a speech every 15 minutes somewhere. It's kind of a profession with him, giving graduation speeches. So you want to avoid the professional speech givers. I don't know.
Got
Walter
some...
Cronkite, how would that be?
There you go.
I'd love to hear Walter Cronkite.
Jay Perini is a novelist, poet, professor of English at Middlebury College. He joined us from their campus studios. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you very much, Neil.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.